lights.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
For the day you'll always remember. That was the inscription on the card my grandmother gave me on the day of my baptism. For the day you'll always remember. And I was perplexed. What was I supposed to remember about this day? I was 13 years old. I was a newly minted teenager, and I was being baptized along with a bunch of teenagers who were being confirmed into the church. And I was the only one who had not been baptized as an infant. I wondered if maybe my grandmother thought this was the day I'd always remember because I was not an infant. Maybe that was it. Unlike all of the other baptized as an infant kids, every time we celebrated communion leading up to that day, my parents would say firmly, "That's for when you're baptized." Perhaps my grandma thought I would remember this day because I would finally receive communion. In the church I attended as a child, the plate passed me by, and I'd reach my hand out to get the little cup and get a swat. Not yet. But no, that wasn't it either. I made these promises. I said the Apostles' Creed that I very carefully memorized. The minister splashed water on my head. I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And that was it. That was the day. And I took home that card my grandmother had given me and put it on my dresser in my room. For the day you'll always remember. And I couldn't stop thinking about it. I was seemingly uninspired by the day itself. And I kept thinking, what was I supposed to remember about this? So then I asked my gran, "Can you tell me about your baptism?" She was a young woman in her 20s when she was baptized. She had been spiritually seeking. She was newly married to a young Baptist man. And in the Baptist church, they practice full immersion. And my gran had had an experience. A sense that her old life was gone and a new life had begun. She said she emerged with a strong sense of renewal, of purpose. And part of that purpose, she said, was to share her story with me. For Graham, her years of searching culminated in this unforgettable experience. For me, my baptism seemed to be just another day. It was a day of initiation, yes, into the church. And I hadn't been prompted to do this until I got that card, but I believe that day is what prompted my years of searching. I came to realize over the course of the years that the point of remembering my baptism was about returning to that day. Having this experience that I would return to, an experience I didn't fully understand when it was happening, but that I could return to it, reorient myself to it, and it would ground me in this reality of something so much bigger than what I was before that baptism. In that baptism, I was named, chosen, called beloved of God. I don't think at age 13, on the day of that baptism, I was prepared to even begin to comprehend what all of that meant. And by the grace of God, I'm still figuring it out. But that day was the beginning of living into that understanding. The Gospel of Matthew is a reminder of Jesus' initiation. Jesus' baptism was an affirmation that God was not only made manifest in spirit and in truth, but baptism made God in human flesh a reality. It named it, it claimed it. But people still ask, why? Why would Jesus need to be baptized? Let alone with a baptism of repentance. John the Baptizer was just as perplexed as anyone else. Jesus had come out to learn from a rabble-rouser like him. He was just the wild cousin. And a baptism of repentance for the sinless one? John the Baptizer balked at the idea that he would baptize Jesus. Certainly it should be the other way around or something. And not out here in these murky waters of the River Jordan. And Jesus had been alive almost 30 years. Why was this the time that God chose to speak out of the clouds and call Jesus beloved? As the Message paraphrase of this gospel describes Jesus' response to John, Jesus insisted, "Do it. God's work. Putting things right all these centuries is coming together right now in this baptism." So John did it. Putting things right all these centuries consisted in doing something unpolished, unrefined, and seemingly out of order. This was God revealing to us that the Holy One shows up even when we aren't sure why, or what we're supposed to remember, or what we ought to do next. This is what the season we're entering into, the season after the Epiphany, is all about. Orienting ourselves to the surprising glory of God. There was a New Testament professor at the first parish I served as a priest, and he taught this class on the Psalms, and I went, and he taught us that the Hebrew word for glory found in Psalm 29, what we recited today, is kavod, which translates to the glory of God, but also to the word heavy, or interior. The heaviness of God, the interior of God. And it's derived from the root of the word for liver. And some translate it as the seat of human will and emotions. Glory is this gritty thing, this embodied thing. Kavod, God's glory, is revealed in an unexpected place and in an unexpected way, and Jesus shows us that it's in baptism. The simplicity of humanity coming into contact with water. The element that already takes up the majority of our body. And that's when we come into contact with the presence of God. It's something very simple. And that means that God can be found all around us, in unexpected places and in unexpected ways. Jesus came to reveal that to us. For the day you'll always remember. I wonder if there was somebody at the River Jordan telling something similar to Jesus. For this day you'll always remember the heavens opening, the dove descending from the sky, the voice from heaven. If he wasn't planning on remembering it, certainly somebody was reminded him too. And what happened next in Jesus' journey was that he wound up out in the desert right after this, fasting, being tempted for 40 days. That baptism was the beginning of his earthly ministry. And that earthly ministry culminated in his bodily death, and ultimately in the conquering of the powers of that death and the act of resurrection. Pastor Debbie Thomas puts it well. And yet we speak so glibly of faith, revelation, and baptism, as if it's all easy. As if what matters most is whether we sprinkle or immerse, dunk babies or adults, as if lives aren't on the line. Until Christianity became a state-sanctioned religion in the 4th century, no convert received the sacrament of baptism lightly. He knew the stakes too well. To align oneself publicly with a despised and illegal religion was to court persecution and torture and death. Debbie writes, I don't know about you, but I find so much of this maddening. How much nicer would it be if the font were self-evidently holy? But no, the font is just tap water, river water, chlorine. The place we encounter, kavod, God's glory, is a neighborhood, a forest, a hilltop. The voice that might be God might also be wind, indigestion, or delusion. Is the baby divine? Or have we misread the star? Is the body and blood of God's Son? Or is it a mere hunk of bread or a jug of wine? What I mean to say is there is no magic. We practice Epiphany. And the challenge is always before us. Look again. Look harder. See freshly. Stand in a place that might possibly be thin. And regardless of how jaded you feel, cling to the possibility of surprise. Epiphany is deep water. You can't stand on the shore and dip your toes in. You must take a breath and plunge. Yes, baptism promises new life, but it always kills before it resurrects. What reason for hope then? What shall we hang on to in this uncertain season of light and shadow? Jesus is the one who opens the barrier, shows us the God we long for. He's the one who stands in line with us at water's edge, willing to immerse himself in scandal, shame, repentance, and pain, all that we might hear the only voice that can tell us who we are and whose we are in this sacred season. Listen, we are God's own, God's children, God's pleasure. Even in the deepest water, we are beloved. Are you baptized? Whether you remember the day of your baptism or not, all of us return to the waters on this day, the feast of the baptism of our Lord. And we'll go back in just a moment to the very first words of faith that we affirmed, or that somebody affirmed for us on our behalf. We'll reaffirm our covenant promises. And we're reminded to remember, to be remembered to the holy within the world, to the people around us, and to be remembered within our very being. And if you're not baptized, I hope this experience of worship leaves you longing to know and be known in God in a more formal way than you already are. You're invited to the waters, and you can just let me or anyone here in the church know. I invite you to touch the waters of the baptismal font on your way out today. Discover it's there waiting for you. Come to the water. Remember that you are beloved of God. Receive the body and blood made holy. And remember, Amen.